radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Do you love the church? I hope you do, because Jesus said, I will build my church. And if your church is a joke, get one that's serious about the gospel. Because church is meant to be a place where we come in and we say, I want to be around those people because they're going to tell me the unsearchable riches about Jesus. And I have a tendency to forget. I have a tendency to let it slip. I have a tendency to lose the plot. And I, for all that's in me, I want to get it right. The reason I'm a preacher today is because when I got saved, I wanted to be able to get it right. I didn't want to tell my friends, you know, that I just got saved and not have any words. It was like an instilled passion to figure out how to explain it. Little did I know what God was up to. But here's the thing. The Bible says in verse 16, what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has happened. And so what did they do? In verse 18 it says they commanded them not to speak. Stop doing that. That's all they did. You stop it now. You stop it now. Well, how'd that work out? Well, the Bible says that after they released them, in verse 23, it says they went back to their own company and they reported everything that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they all heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord, saying, Lord, Thou art God who have made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David made us to understand the prophecy of Psalm 2. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. You want to know who it's talking about in Psalm 2? He's telling you. Doesn't use the word Christ in Psalm 2. It says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with thee. And there was no Son to kiss at that time, but it was a prophecy of Christ's coming. And over again, they just kind of reflect. Do you find yourself oft reflecting about who He is? I'll tell you when you'll reflect about who He is more. It's when you've shared Christ with somebody. You're going to say, man, did I say that right? Did I do that right? And chances are you didn't do it perfect, but maybe you got it better this time than last time. And you kind of go back and you retool it and you talk to somebody who was from a Mormon persuasion, which, by the way, is a cult. Did I say that? Yeah, it's a cult. You need to know that. Jehovah's Witness is a cult. Seventh-day Adventists, cult. I'm not worried about the radio saying they're not going to send me money. I'm worried about people who are believers believing that stuff is true, and it's not true. We need to be clear. There's a whole world of error out there. The Word of God, it is where we need to keep ourselves focused. It won't go wrong there. But if you start chasing people and men, you're going to be in trouble. And the Bible tells us in this passage that these guys were reflecting. And they learned something from being in the midst of that council. They learned that these people had arrayed themselves against God. They went back and they said, the kings of the earth gathered themselves against. And I'm thinking, well, they were just inside that council. That was all Jews. That was all Jews. Why did they say everybody, the kings of all the earth? Well, look what they did. They're reflecting. Verse 27, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. They're reflecting. They're saying, man, I look over my shoulder. And way back when he was first born, Herod had all those children killed under 3 years old. Killed them all. They're thinking, man, this is serious business. Pilate washed his hands and crucified Jesus. Those are Gentiles. People say, oh, the Jews, terrible people. No! Humanity is fallen. And we're all culpable and we all stood at the cross. Our sin nailed him there. And this is why it's so powerful that he keeps going to the Jews. But look at this, verse 28. They gathered together to do whatever beforehand your counsel determined to be done. What? God let it happen. God knew by His precognition, knowing down through the corridors of time, that if I create a free agent in humanity, they will sin, they will go their own way. So as he pondered, as it were, it talks about him pondering, by the way. Somebody said, never occurred to you, nothing ever occurred to God. Well, that's all funny to say, but it says he did it by the counsel he determined beforehand. Somewhere he determined it. And what we see is he determined that Jesus would die and be killed. You see, God was the one who what? Loved the world so much that he gave his son. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You see, God allowed his son to go because he knew that this would be worth it. Listen, he knew that you would be worth it. Talk about love. Talk about love. Every terrible thing that history has seen over its canvas in time and in history, all the terrible things God allowed to happen just to get to today, just to get to you. And Jesus died back there. But so much mayhem has happened because he knew some of us would believe. God loved the world so much that he gave us his son. He sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the Bible says, 1 John chapter 2, he died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So whosoever will may come. The Bible says in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we may speak. Why? Because they enjoyed being in the zone. Being filled with the Spirit, he began to preach Jesus to them. He loved being there. How do you get fearless? You get in the zone. You let the Lord take you where you can be, and you let your life be a miracle at which they wonder. And when you get a chance to share with them the unsearchable riches, after having gotten down underneath them and served them and loved on them and showed them something, listen, marvelous. It's not marvelous if we can argue them to stupefaction. What's marvelous is that they know they're rascals and you're just loving them anyway. That's kind of marvelous. You're serving, you're ministering, you're washing feet, you're carrying water. And what ends up happening is they begin to say, why are you being nice to me? I always am kind of not so good of a state of heart. You know, I'm going around and kicking the buckets and knocking people over. But if you do what you do good and you love on them and you show them a quiet calm in the midst of chaos, that's going to get their attention. It says, grant with all boldness that we may speak thy word. Well, as I wind this down, verse 30 says, they asked for them to stretch forth the hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Now, I've referenced this before, but you need to hear it, so I figured I would look it up for you. This is in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. People today want to pray, God, give us signs and wonders. But Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 said, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This is a great salvation we've got, folks. It's perfect. It's perfect. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Those apostles were right to pray for signs and wonders. You and I are not. We can ask God to show us a token for good that the enemy might see it and be afraid. There have been times when I've asked God to do that. Do you know when we had to move from Pennsylvania back here and we were ready to go and it was so heart-wrenching. We had a house that we thought, man, we're going to carry this house. We just wish, you know, the folks would understand. And we did our best to explain ourselves and we tried to keep it all nice so the people would be comforted as we moved on down the road. But we had that house and it seemed like an embarrassment to have a house there and move back here. And the very day that we loaded up our U-Haul van, a guy called and said, I got a buyer for your house. And the day we moved in with friends of ours from church, with tears running down their eyes, we were pulling away with our house sold on the very day. That was a token for good. It's okay to ask for God to take care of you, to magnify your testimony, to encourage you, and to help other people see Jesus in you. Doesn't mean you're going to raise the dead. Doesn't mean you're going to give lame feet the ability to walk. We need to realize all of that stuff was the apostolic giftings. You and I have the giftings of speech. We have the giftings of service. Make some cookies and be nice to somebody. Do you know how hard it is to take a sinner and make him a saint? To take somebody who had a problem with anger and make him have a tear in his eye because he can't forget how much Jesus loved him. We had a guy who got saved in Pennsylvania. I kid you not, every time he'd come to Bible study, every time, he would get all puddled up and his chin would quiver. He said, "Pastor, is this ever going to stop?" He wouldn't do it during the week, but man, when he came around the Bible, he just got all weepy. I said, "Man, don't ask for that to stop." I said, "That's God all over you." I said, "It'll possibly, but I wouldn't ask for that." I'd say, "That's pretty neat." That's pretty neat. Took a man who had a heart of stone and made him a big old puppy dog. And this is where the Bible says in verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Look at this. "And they spake the word of God with boldness." You want to know what the church is supposed to be doing? That's it. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." He's talking to all of us. You and I are supposed to figure out how to get in the zone, how to figure out how to be with the tuning fork of the Holy Spirit, how to get a chance to share Jesus with somebody personally, how to get somebody to come across the line, how to love on them enough to be feeling safe for them to be around, how to be somebody that they can look at and say, you know, there's the real deal Christian. We don't live right because we need to get saved. We live right because we are saved. And because we want to have a testimony that's credible when we say Jesus can save you, they need to believe that we know what we're talking about. I try to wear a tie and a coat when I preach because I think it gives a credibility. I always have a problem with a doctor who comes in slovenly. What about a preacher? Flip-flops and shorts, a polo shirt in his pulpit. Listen, that's okay. It's not sinful, wrong. It just doesn't help. I did counseling classes years ago, and man, they would always talk about having credibility. Where's our credibility today? As an individual Christian, you and I need credibility. And that credibility means we're in church, we're givers, we're lovers, we're carers, we're servers, we're nice people. And if we find ourselves getting caught up in cynicism, that's something we need to pray over. God, please take it out of me, because I know every one of us has an easy road to cynicism. The world's going crazy. But it's not about this world. It's about the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Bible says this is where we keep our focus. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Why? Because if you set them down here, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be a turkey. Guy said once, "Why are you down here picking at the ground as like a turkey? You need to be soaring like an eagle into the sun." And everybody said, "What's with him, man? He's just having a good time." The Bible says they witnessed with great power in verse 33, the power of the resurrection. And look at this. After they spoke the word of God with power, in verse 31, it says, what was their speech? It says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection." There it is again. Look at this. "And great grace was upon them all." And we'll conclude with this, because the next chapter picks up these verses and takes them on forward. But right here, great grace, great grace. The word grace is charis. And it comes from the word Cairo. And the word Cairo means joy. Where are you going to get your joy? In stuff? Stuff gets broke, scratched, dented, wears out. A mouse makes a nest in it. You know, come around the summer, you're like, oh, gross. This world is meant for decay, but the one ahead is eternal. And we have an inheritance reserved for us, Peter tells us, incorruptible, reserved for us in heaven, and it will never fade away. Don't live for this, or you'll lose both. Live for that, and you'll get both, because that's where the joy comes from. Do you have that? The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the fruit. And from that proceed joy, peace, gentleness, self-control. All of the things you need, but love is the primary fruit. Everything else comes from that. If we need to be filled with the Spirit, it's going to be by getting in sync with Him. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.